Hello, and welcome to the Learning Made podcast, where we speak to subject matter experts in the fields of K-12 education, higher ed, workforce development, to learn more about advances and issues in the industry from cradle to career. I'm your host, Shannon Gens. Today, I'm excited to be joined by Matt Worden. Matt is the business head at DoubleLine, where he leads efforts to help states and organizations unlock the power of their data. We'll talk about the important work DoubleLine does, including a tool Matt's team developed to make education and workforce indicator framework more accessible. Our conversation covers how this tool helps states identify data gaps, integrate information across agencies, save time and money amid budget pressures, and plan for the future of data integration. Thank you for joining me, Matt.
Shannon, thanks so much for having me. Really happy to be here and looking forward to the conversation today.
Me too. So for those of our listeners who don't know, could you just share a little bit about your role at DoubleLine and what your division focuses on?
Sure. So I'm coming up on 14 years at DoubleLine, and I joined DoubleLine. I have a technical background, so I joined DoubleLine as a data engineer, sort of working in the trenches on projects, progressed to the organization, and for the last 7 years, I've been leading the company as CEO. We joined the LearningMate family about 3 years ago as part of LearningMate. My business unit focuses on helping education-focused state agencies and local governments develop and execute a strategy to improve and level up their data capabilities. So this means modernizing the technology itself, but there's also processes and governance and team skills that have to be leveled up. So we'll work with state agencies, local governments. We also work with nonprofits like the Gates Foundation. So we act as a service provider to them to help them achieve their mission. But we also receive funding from them in the form of grants to advance ideas that we have to kind of fill gaps that we see in the education space.
Yeah, so you just mentioned that your work often involves partnering with these state agencies. How do you approach these partnerships consultatively to ensure the solutions truly meet their unique needs? Like, what are those conversations like early on, and how do you help guide your clients?
We think that there's not actually many vendor partners out there that are both expert and unbiased. So we have, you know, some vendors in this space really know their stuff, but their stuff is tied to a specific technology stack. This means their recommendations are going to be more about, you know, their expertise than what the client actually needs. You also have on the other side of the spectrum, you know, generalists who position themselves as vendor neutral. And they are vendor neutral, but they're also industry neutral. Mm. This doesn't really work in the education space. Mm. You know, there's too much nuance, and there's too much the education data standard space is really complex. So the jack of all trades thing, I don't think really works in that context. So I like to think that we show up to our client engagements with both a blank slate, but also a huge toolbox of proven tools and exactly the type of projects that our clients are going through. So, you know, we're an expert in each one of those tools in the toolbox, and we have put them to use in production scenarios, and we've seen them run successfully for years. But on day one of the engagement, you know, we're not coming in and telling the state what they need to build. We have no assumptions, only experience. So we don't have, you know, backroom partnerships with technology products that we're going to try to shoehorn into what we need to build for the state. It's a blank slate. We go through a process that we call the vision day, and we spend that time with the client, understanding what the client needs, and then ultimately begin sharing options, pros and cons, as well as experiences that we have had in other states that might inform the client's, you know, path forward. So what we end up with is a jointly constructed vision for the future state of their data architecture, their capabilities, that's informed by the client's expertise, but also our expertise, and also informed by the trends in the education space. And I think one more point is that it's not just about what the client's needs are today, right? So it is important for us to understand what those are, but we also have to anticipate what the client's needs are going to be 5 years from now, because states only get a couple opportunities a decade maybe to modernize and level up their data systems. So if we only meet the needs today, by the time the project is done, you know, they're going to have new needs. So we have to think about the trajectory of the space. And that's where I think this is part of why I think the jack of all trades thing doesn't really work, is that, you know, we're deeply in tune with where the industry is moving, and we can kind of connect the dots between what the state needs today and also where the whole industry is moving to.
Yeah, that's a really good point about being forward thinking, because of the limit limitations that these districts and these state agencies have on contracting with vendors and capitalizing on that time that you have with your clients. And I want to just be clear. So it's not exclusively K through 12, but it's primarily K 12. Is that correct that you're working with?
That's a really good question, because I think that where the industry is pivoting is there's a lot more interest in trying to understand the full learner journey. I think that there's a recognition that state governments have organized themselves such that, you know, early childhood education is handled by one office or one department. K-12 is a different department. Post-secondary is oftentimes a different department. You know, workforce and labor is a different department. But, you know, the constituents, the people that are going through the education system, are they the same people, right? To try to understand how effective is that learner journey requires us thinking about, you know, the outcomes across all those different silos. And we shouldn't allow the organizational decisions that we've made to you know, operate that system to influence our ability to actually observe the effectiveness of that system, right? So there's an increasing interest from the state, you know, state legislatures and the departments themselves to get sort of cross-agency picture of that full learner journey. So while it's true that a lot of our work is with the K-12 department, increasingly, we've done work in early childhood, post-secondary, workforce, and also like what we would call the P20W system. So preschool, 20 grades of school, and then workforce. So trying to put together basically trying to break down that organizational silo and enable an analysis and data capability across that full spectrum.
Yeah, that's really helpful. I think we were talking in our pre-interview about the medical records system and how that patient is being treated by multiple doctors. And right now, HIPAA has it so that those things are not fully connected, but having a similar outlook on the life cycle of a student, like a patient, could be a really critical piece in the success of that individual. So that's an interesting perspective. And I'm glad that you clarified that.
And we've all sort of experienced that as a patient, right? Is that, you know, we have to be a part of that data integration. Like we have to help facilitate the movement of our records from provider A to provider B, or we have to make sure that provider B knows about something that happened to provider A. So like that can be pretty frustrating. So I think that experience informs what we don't want to have happen in the student and the learner experience, and figure out how can we make sure that that is an integrated experience.
So I am not familiar with this, and maybe our audience isn't either. So could you just tell me a little bit about what the Education and Workforce Indicator Framework is, and why was it created?
Yeah, the Education and Workforce Indicator Framework was developed by Mathematica and the Gates Foundation, and states. The context is that states are seeing an increasing need, like we just talked about, to get that picture across the full learner journey. States want to know things like, for example, if we were to double our investment in early childhood education, would we expect to see an improvement of dropout rates in high school? And for many states, like that's just not a question that they can easily answer because you're crossing different organizational silos. There are lots of technical reasons why that can be challenging, like unique identifiers not being the same across those systems, data quality levels being different across those systems, data governance being different, data privacy rules being different. But even if you could get through all of that, there's kind of a question of, well, all right, what should we be looking at? Like, what are the metrics and indicators we should be considering? So states are looking to build these P20W data systems that have that full picture across the learner journey. And that's exactly the type of work that, you know, DoubleLine does for clients. The framework itself is a 313-page resource that helps describe the ideal end state for such a system. It's kind of a curated, research-based collection of indicators, metrics, and disaggregates that a state would ideally be able to power from their data set across early learning, K-12, post-secondary, and workforce. So it kind of defines the destination of where a state would want to end up with their data capabilities based on the current research that's out there available.
Yeah. And it sounds like everything you just mentioned, data integrity, the way that they're storing the data. I mean, are those the biggest challenges that states face to implement this effectively?
Well, there's a lot of challenges to doing this effectively. And that's, I think, why you kind of want to have a partner that's gone through it before. But with regard to the framework itself, just defining the destination is extremely helpful. But we need to actually understand how to get there, right? So Let's say that you are going on a road trip with your family and you're going to go to some attraction out of state and you have the address for that attraction. So in some sense, you know exactly where you're going, but also you need a thing like a map. You need to know, you need to have a marker that says you are here, your starting place. You need all those things in order to make that address an actionable piece of data. So it's the same thing with the framework. The framework does an amazing job of defining that destination. Within that 313-page document are some indicators and metrics that the state could power today. There are some other indicators that they could power if they just collected some additional pieces of data. And then there are still more indicators that they would have to work really, really hard and collect a lot of new data in order for them to power those things. Basically, it's really challenging for a state to understand where are they today, which parts of the framework, that 313-page document, are most relevant to them.
Yeah, I'm sure. Just weeding through that and making sense of it. So having a partner like you, who understands data from that perspective is, I'm sure, hugely valuable. And you've developed a tool actually that makes this massive framework more usable. So how does it work, sort of in layman's terms?
Yeah, well, essentially the tool does exactly it kind of zeroes in on what's the most relevant parts of the framework. So it identifies the parts of the framework that are most relevant and helps develop a roadmap of which parts to do when. Here's how it works. The tool knows the data needed for each of the framework's indicators and metrics because we've done that analysis and breakdown already, and we've baked that into the tool itself. The tool can securely and automatically access the state's data stores to inventory what types of data the state does and doesn't have. So if you think about it, if we know the data that the state has, and we know the data that's required for each of the framework's indicators and metrics, then we know exactly which of the framework's indicators and metrics the state can power with the data they have today. We also know the indicators and metrics the states can just about power, but they can't quite because they're missing a couple of data elements. And we also, maybe most importantly, know which of those metrics and indicators the state is really far away from powering. So if you've got that picture, then you can start to develop a bit of a roadmap of here's the low hanging fruit where I can actually power today with the data I have. And here's some metrics and indicators that I really care about, but I just don't have the data today. So let's start a bit of a project to start collecting that data, maybe in the next collection cycle or whatever. So you get this actionable roadmap of what to actually do in order to make progress on your P20W system using the research that's been curated in the framework itself.
To put some context around it, can you share like a specific example or a sample of how this tool could help a state identify and prioritize their data needs and gaps in particular?
Yeah, so the tool is still in development and with some funding from the Gates Foundation. But I can tell you a story about a project that we did a couple of years ago where a state hired us to implement their P20W system. During the engagement, they wanted our advice on what the research says they should focus on in their dashboards. We have tons of experience in doing these types of systems, but we're not researchers. So we showed them what we've done in other states. We made some recommendations, but we had to be clear that this was based on our experience and not based on a thorough analysis of the available research. If I had known that the EW framework existed back then, and if we had the tool that we were working on now, we could have shared that framework with them. We could have helped guide them to the relevant parts of the framework, and we really would have ended up with a happier client with more guidance on what to focus on in their dashboards and metrics.
Why is it so hard for states to integrate data across education, workforce, and other agencies? I know you said, besides the data integrity, collecting data in a similar way, like expand on that.
Yeah, it's a big challenge. I mentioned a minute ago just about sort of the identities issue. So you think about like a student ID or an early childhood education student ID. These identifier systems are different across these data systems. So because they're individual data silos and they've been run by different departments, and there really hasn't been a reason until somewhat recently to worry about the compatibility or the connection between these different data silos, they're all kind of, there needs to be a crosswalk done essentially, so that you can follow a given student through the whole learner journey and even into workforce. Similarly, there's a bunch of reference codes in everywhere. Like government loves codes, right? So there's codes for all kinds of things. The type of attendance event. So whether they're excused or unexcused absence, that's a code. And those codes can be different across the silos as well. So trying to get a picture across those silos requires some translation of those codes. You mentioned data quality. That's a big deal. So if you think about, let's say that you're a K-12 department and you've been working really hard on data quality for 20 years, but maybe the early childhood education program is a little bit newer around data collection. Maybe they've only been doing it for 5 years, perhaps. So they may be earlier in the journey around data quality than you are. So trying to bring those ingredients together can be challenging because you're at different starting states. Completeness is another element. So you might have high quality data, but how much of the data do you have? In order to answer questions that you need to answer, do you have a complete data set? Or perhaps you have attendance data from one type of system across your state, but there's maybe another system that you haven't yet integrated. So you've got high quality data, but you only have 50% of it, that kind of thing. And that similarly, you've got like a question around frequency. So if you're a state, you generally have a collection schedule. You're usually perhaps collecting it, you know, some number of times a year. We've worked with some states to get sort of a continuous collection process going, but most states are still working on a snapshot basis. So then there's a question of how stale is the data? How frequently is it being updated? Then there's some like other challenges that are more people in process. Like there can be different data privacy rules across those different silos. So maybe there are different privacy rules for post-secondary data versus early childhood data. So if you're thinking about trying to answer questions across those silos, but there's different rules that apply to each of the silos, that can be challenging. One more thing I would say is data governance can be kind of a stealth challenge as well. So let's say you've gotten past all of these other questions, and now you're working on an integrated data set. So you've got data that's owned by the early childhood department, you have different data that's owned by the K-12 department, et cetera. Now you've got an integrated data set where you've combined some of the data from all of those silos into an integrated form. Well, who owns the integrated form, right? So there's a data governance question of, you know, what happens to the ownership of the data once you have integrated it? And that can be a little challenging too. And it brings up a lot of questions that, again, I think states don't want to be having to figure this out themselves for the first time. I think probably having a partner who can kind of lay out, here's what we've seen, here are the options, can really accelerate the process.
Yeah, you just talking, I would feel comfortable with any of my data. Because I think that the understanding of it can add some ease to any client that you work with. And I was thinking, and we talked about this before too, you know, state leaders have these big picture questions, like how am I investing my education dollars? So the tool that you are all working on would help like link early childhood investment to high school outcomes. I mean, do you anticipate state leaders using the data like that? And are there other examples like that and how you feel like it could be used?
I think the tool and the framework helps bridge the gap between the motivation of why we're doing this and then the technical activities of what we're doing. So we've sort of seen those be disconnected. So the state legislature might be frustrated that they're not able to get certain questions answered, like you were saying, like if we increase investments in certain programs, do we get different outcomes in high school? They might be frustrated at that, but they may not know exactly what they need to do. They may be willing to fund some kind of project, but they can't necessarily connect the dots from that frustration to exactly what needs to happen. That then usually finds its way either a central IT department or the IT department of, you know, one of the agencies. And then they'll come up with a strategy of integrating the data set. But unless they have a really good understanding of the pain points that's motivating the integration, they tend to look at it from a source system perspective. So basically, I've got six source systems and I want to integrate them into one, right? That's the project that gets created. While the motivation for that project was, I have a specific business question that I can't answer, right? Bringing those things together is key, because otherwise integrating six data systems in total can be a massive effort. And perhaps 80% of that effort maybe doesn't actually answer any questions that anyone's asking, right? So the tool helps to bridge that gap between the motivation for building like a P20W system and the specific technical activities that have to occur in order to do so, and also non-technical activities, right? Like we talked about, if you're missing certain data elements, there's nothing that the IT department can do, right? Like you have to actually start a process where you're starting to collect additional data that might require legislation changes or who knows, right? So bridging that gap between, you know, the business, if you will, and the technology is, I think, where the framework really does a great job, but then the tool on top of that can help zero in on specifically what are those questions that the legislature is asking, or whoever's asking these questions, and then what does that mean from where we are today and where we have to get to. So building that roadmap and meeting the goals that's actually motivating the effort.
How long can an engagement be with a state organization, or because it seems like if you're working with them through this entire process where you're doing this initial analysis, you're identifying the gaps, you're helping them to do all the things to get the data that they need in the shape that they need it, talking across multiple agencies. I mean, this sounds like it could be a multi-year investment in time, people, and data integration. Is that generally what you're finding?
I think that that's true. You know, the technical effort is one thing, and that has its timeline. But like you said, there are these other elements that have to be worked out. So for example, you know, the lawyers from the different agencies might have to get in a room together and talk about, you know, the privacy rules and things like that. So that's not something that really, you know, as a vendor partner, we can change the timeline of, but there's a sort of a multifaceted effort that has to occur in each one of these implementations. So it can take some time, but I think that really just underscores the point I was just making, that if it's going to take a lot of time, let's make sure that we're focusing on the things that are going to have the biggest bang for the buck, if you will, and not have like a wholesale effort of trying to bring data systems together. So I think that's it's a key point. It does take time, and there's a bit of a foundational element of, you know, how do you get version one done? Version two is going to be faster because you've already got, you know, the foundation in place.
You said bang for the buck. I'm just thinking too about how much, you know, the initial investment and what the savings could be ultimately. Because listen, everybody's facing budget cuts. You know, education is taking a big hit. How do you think ultimately, looking at data in this way, and the initial investment could ultimately save time and money?
The first way to answer your question is maybe stepping back a little bit. So when you were asking about the timeline of these implementations, I probably should have mentioned that these questions have to be answered one way or the other. So what happens without a data system is that specific question gets sent to an agency. The agency says, we can't answer that because that crosses our data silos. And then they get the lawyers in a room, they get the technology people in a room, et cetera. And they spend about a couple years working out that the way to answer that specific question, both from a data privacy and policy standpoint, and then the technology around it to bring the data together just for that one question. And then they get the answer back. And hopefully that the data is not too stale by that point. And hopefully the legislator that asked it is still there. Like there's, you know, there's a time lag that's pretty significant there. So I guess it's important to compare the current state to the timeline around these data systems. And kind of related to that, you know, that's not a zero cost. I mean, that's going to take some time and effort to do that as well. But you're right that all of our clients are looking for ways to do more with less. And I think that the main strategy around that is to think about the work that could get done and lay that out on a bit of a matrix. I'm a consultant, so I love matrices, right? The one side of the matrix is, you know, how much work will it take to add each new data capability, right? The other side of the matrix is how impactful will that new data capability be? So when you're doing more with less, we want to optimize for the most impactful data capabilities that can be added with the least effort. So, but the question is, how do you come up with that matrix? You know, that's where our tool is, and the way that we use that tool is a key way to provide that analysis and create like an optimized roadmap to get the most bang for the buck.
Yeah, that's really helpful. I hate that we're running out of time because I feel like we could talk forever, but I do have like one final question. You know, where do you see the future of cross-sector data integration going in like the next 5 years? And how do you think organizations can start to prepare for that?
Whether it's being AI ready or some other motivation, the clear focus needs to be on improving data quality, completeness, and timeliness. So data quality, like we mentioned, is the accuracy of the data. Data completeness is how full of a picture can we paint with the data that we have. Data timeliness is, you know, how long does it take from an event to occur to us having data about that event. Needing to be AI ready, data quality, completeness, and timeliness avoids a garbage in, garbage out scenario where the AI investments are ineffective. If it's more dashboard capabilities for legislators or for the public, again, these factors are going to be key. The good news is that the prescription of what states need to focus on today is the same, even if we don't know exactly how AI and other disruptive technologies are going to play out for the next 5 years.
Yeah, so a lot to think about. Do you have any final words? I really appreciate you spending time with me today.
Yeah, Shannon, great conversation, great questions. This is definitely an interesting time with a lot of disruptive technologies, and states are in different places in their journey around data modernization. So I think, like I said, there's a lot of opportunity for us to partner together and figure out new things. We like to blaze the trail. We like to experiment. We like to figure out new ways of doing things. And we are always looking for partners who are trying to push the envelope on capabilities and, move the needle on what's possible in the space.
Thank you so much, Matt. And I just want to thank you all for tuning in to the Learning Mate podcast. A big thanks to Matt for sharing his insights on data integration and the work that DoubleLine is doing to help states make smarter decisions. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss future episodes, and visit learningmate.com/podcast for the resources and show notes. I'm Shannon Gattens. Until next time, keep advancing learning from cradle to career.